Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today's show, my co-host in the studio is Doug Wortham, and we're going to hear from Tee It Up from the Troops, Warriors Next Adventure, and check in with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. But first, it's time for Generally Week Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
We refer to the days between the end of summer and the beginning of fall as the 101 critical days of summer, and for good reason. The statistics show us that as the seasons change and the temperature rises, the number of injuries to our soldiers and airmen also tick upward. During these 101 days, car accidents, accidental drownings, and alcohol-related injuries are much more common than we would like. A relaxing day out on the lake, a cross-country summer road trip, each one of these scenarios offers an opportunity for injury if we are not careful. As you enjoy your well-earned downtime this summer, I ask you not to forget the importance of safety. A few simple actions on your part prevent bad things from happening. Helmets, seatbelts, and life vests don't work if you don't use them, so please use them. Please be safe and smart as you enjoy everything this warm weather has to offer.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Doug, great message from the Adjutant General. Spring is here. The snow is melting. People are going to start taking some time off. And as you said many times as Command Sergeant Major, you got to be careful out there.
Yeah, you absolutely do. You know, you have to be aware of your surroundings and just take it easy and not rush to it. You know, your destination will be there. Just be safe.
Now, Doug, we've got some great guests in the studio today. And spring has arrived. So this time of year, we always talk to Tee It Up for the Troops. And Tim Weichschad is here, who is the president and executive director of Tee It Up for the Troops. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks for having us back. Always a pleasure.
Well, the weather's just right for you to come in today and talk a little bit golf.
Yeah, I think you did pick the perfect day because spring is in the air and golfers are getting out there, and that's the kickoff to our season for sure.
Well, before we talk about what's going on this season, can you share with our listeners, how did COVID treat you? How tough was it getting through those couple years?
You know, of course, like a lot of organizations and individuals, 2020 was a very difficult year. You know, with what we do as an organization, a large part of it is bringing people together, bringing communities together to rally around our mission to honor and support America's veterans. And when the edicts are that you are not supposed to do that, it makes it really, really difficult. We did still manage to host almost 30 different events in 2020 across the country. We just had to go about it very differently. You had to kind of go to tee time setups instead of shotgun starts. You had to kind of minimize the, you know, the lunches and the dinner kind of things. But we're still able to push through that and have, you know, a decent year. And then we've bounced back very nicely in 21 and 22, thank goodness.
And your supporters came out to take care of you throughout all of that problem with the COVID, which is a great thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. The volunteers that are part of our family, the energy and the effort they put in, it would have been really easy to wave the white flag and say, you know, we're not going to do it this year. But they stepped up and did an amazing job. And I think in 2021, I think all Americans were anxious to get back out and just get back to life as normal. And so we saw a great bounce back where companies and individuals wanted to get back involved in supporting our American veterans. So it was really nice to see.
Get out and golf and fill up those events. And we even filled up the Minnesota Military Family Foundation event, which you helped support. And we saw the same things. They wanted to be out there. They really wanted to be there.
Absolutely. And, Tom, we're so honored to be able to support what you do with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. It's core to our mission. It's core to our heart to give back to veterans in need, and with what you do as an organization, it's just a natural fit.
Yeah, Tim, we appreciate that. We're speaking with Tim Weichschad from Tee It Up for the Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. Tim, let's backtrack a little bit. Tee It Up for the Troops, how long you've been around, what is the mission, and how many, there's lots of organizations that benefit from your efforts.
Yeah, Tom, it's hard to believe that we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary next year. We began in 2005 when a young man quit college and joined the Army after the 9/11 attacks and, you know, wanted to do something to, you know, find a way to help our country. And he was speaking with his family and some friends and you know, asked them to do something to give back to the men and women, and they get back home. And so we started with a single golf event right here in Minnesota. We're still a Minnesota-based nonprofit, and since then we've done almost 700 different golf events across the country. We also do several other different kind of events, but it's majority golf, obviously, as our name implies. But the goal is to raise awareness and to raise funds towards veterans' issues. And by engaging the community into a golf event that allows the opportunity to put veterans in each of those different foursomes and share a message before the golf, after the golf, to encourage folks to step up and support, has been a great rallying cry for us as an organization.
And, Tim, I know you do golf events all across the country, and I think your format was, I hope it still is, half of the money raised at each event is local and the other half goes to some national organizations, but all of the funds go to help our service members, our veterans, and their families.
That is correct, Tom. Minnesota is still our largest state in terms of number of events because we have so many relationships and people that want to get involved. But no matter where we host an event, that is what we do. We want to put at least half of it right back into the community that hosts the event. But we also want to make sure that we're helping veterans and military families all across the country. So we've partnered up with some organizations that are providing services to families all across the U.S. and allowing them to do what they do best through our support.
And, Doug, I want to ask you a question. I think our listeners know that you're a retired state command sergeant major, and I know you're very familiar with the MMFF and Tee It Up for the Troops. How important is it for when your troops are deployed to know that there's organizations such as Tee It Up for the Troops back here raising money to help support the families?
Well, I think it's extremely important to know that. You know, we've talked about it many times on this show about how we as service members have just the easy job, right? We go do our mission. Things are set the way they are, and we're worried about our family. But to know that back home, whatever the organization is there to support the families, know that they will step in when there's a time of need. It's a big pressure relieved from those of us downrange so we can just do our mission and then come home safely and get back to our families.
And Tim, that's the whole deal right there. We send them off on these missions all over the world. We want them to focus on the mission, get home safe, and the funds that Tee It Up for the Troops raises to help support the families while they're deployed, it's just incredible.
It's the way it should work, and we're so proud to be able to do it and support a variety of organizations in Minnesota that help those to relax and do their mission and know that those back home are going to be taken care of as well as possible.
So, Tim, how many events do you have coming up in Minnesota this year?
We'll have another 10 events this year across the metro area, but also in St. Cloud, in Rochester, in Mankato, and just across the river in Hudson, Wisconsin. So we'll include that in our Minnesota grouping. But, it's a great mix of events, and we feel really well represented in this great state.
Now, it's early in the year, Tim. I'm assuming you're still looking for some foursomes. And if our listeners want to go to the event nearest to them, how do they find information?
Yeah, the best way is to go to teeitupforthetroops.org. We have a full listing of all of our events and all the contact information that anyone could reach out to in order to get connected and supporting the events in that community.
Teeitupforthetroops.com.
Let's get out. Teeitupforthetroops.org.
Okay. Excuse me. Teeitupforthetroops.org. Let's get out there and fill up all of those Tee It Up for the Troop events. Tim, we just got a couple of minutes left. We've got a special guest we're going to hear in the second segment. But I understand he attended one of your reunion programs. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah. Our reunion event is actually something we started over 10 years ago. And as we hosted our events across the country, we could just see the joy and the camaraderie between men and women who had served together and deployed together when they would be together after not seeing each other for a period of time. And so the concept was evolved that we would actively try to bring back together, to reunite battle buddies who had been separated, whether it's due to injury or other circumstances, to bring them together in a central location and then be surrounded by others that have experienced similar things. And then we bring together counseling services, but other things that just kind of sitting around the campfire and talking about shared experiences and healing and resources and things like that. And it has just been a blessing to be able to do this for over 10 years now.
Now, is that veterans of all ages?
Correct.
So we got the retired Command Sergeant Major over here. He's probably got some battle buddies. He might be eligible to join.
We'll have to talk about that offline. I've learned a few things about Doug that we might want to.
I'm not sure.
We have a very thorough vetting process, and this is where that comes in handy.
He probably can't hit a golf ball anyway.
Is golfing a requirement?
It is not, thank goodness.
Okay, well, maybe I qualify then.
Yeah. We'd love to have you.
Well, he came back, Doug. You got a chance.
All right, then. That's good.
There was a movie about having a chance, but that's another deal. Tim, we got to take a short break and we come back. I know you've brought a Marine with you that helps you out at teeing up the troops. We want to meet him and learn about him. And so we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about teeing up for the troops on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio today is Doug Wortham, and we've been talking to Tim Wegscheid from Tee It Up for the Troops. Tim, I may have messed up your name earlier in the show. I apologize. But, Doug, I come to you. Apparently, you have problems hitting golf balls, and you may or may not be eligible to go to the reunion event.
Well, I don't know that I necessarily have problems hitting the golf ball as much as I do is making it go a longer distance. So my putt-putt game is pretty good, but the in-between, the long game and the short game, that's less than desired.
Tim, you're going to have to interview him carefully before you add him to that group.
Well, the good news is we always do scrambles, so if you can putt, you'll be welcome.
Oh, well, good. Then my team has a fighting chance.
As long as nobody gets hurt, it's okay. This isn't battle. So, Tim, you've got a special guest with you today, and he's a Marine. Would you like to introduce him?
I'd be honored to introduce Len Erickson. Len served in Vietnam as a Marine. And as I mentioned earlier, our mission is to honor and support all those who served our country. And we are an organization that is not just focused on post-9/11 veterans. We serve veterans of all generations, and we all very well understand how some of our Vietnam veterans were treated when they came back home. And Len is someone that loves the game of golf and obviously served our country, so he's a perfect fit for who we are as an organization. And I didn't meet Len till 4, 5, or 6 years ago, but there was an instant connection, an instant bond. And he's become a huge part of our family, and he's played in a lot of our events. And last year, we were very proud to bring him to our reunion event, where I think it provided some real special experiences for Len, and that makes us very happy.
Len, I'm thrilled to have a fellow Vietnam veteran in the studio, and a Marine to boot, so welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I think there's a story here. How did you get to be a Marine to start with?
I finished college and I knew that I had to do something to grow up. I went to join the Air Force to become a pilot. And I went into the federal building in Duluth and I went to the Air Force recruiter and there was a sign on its door. And I still remember the sign. It was out to lunch, be back at 1 o'clock. Well, being as immature as I was, I couldn't wait till 1 o'clock. So I walked further down the hall, and there was a Navy recruiter there, and he was almost like a carnival barker trying to get me to come in and sign up, and I wasn't interested in that. And then the next room, there was a Marine Corps recruiter, and he sat there, and he was reading a magazine, and he looked up and looked at me, and he looked me up and down, and he went back to reading his magazine. And I thought, well, I'll show you. I'll join the Marine Corps. So there you have it.
And the rest is history. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yes, yes. And that is a recruiting technique right there. And it worked hook, line, and sinker for you.
And unfortunately, before you knew it, you got to Vietnam.
That's right. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience in Vietnam?
Sure. I arrived during the Tet Offensive of 1968. We landed in Da Nang. As a matter of fact, the runway had just been rocketed, so there were holes all over in the runway. But I landed in Tet of 68 and left the country in Tet of 69, so a year later.
Lucky guy, a Marine, you made it at the worst possible time of the entire war in Vietnam, the 1968 Tet Offensive. I know that. My older brother was in the Marines, and he was over there at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
But you survived.
I did. I served with 1st Battalion, 7th Marines. And we were in the I Corps in the northern part of South Vietnam. We were just west of Da Nang, and between Da Nang and the mountains, going into Laos. But we were in that area. So
you were forced to grow up at a very young age and experience the Tet Offensive. I think that was the most serious Tet Offensive we had during Vietnam.
It was. I didn't have anything to compare it to, so I just thought that was Vietnam. I mean, that's the way it was going to be the whole year, and And luckily for us, it didn't. But I got, after 6 months, I received a traumatic brain injury. I got a concussion. That's what they called it at that time. Now it's considered a traumatic brain injury. But
I mean, Marines can get those? I'm sorry, Len. I thought if you hit a Marine in the head, you just hurt your hand.
Well, they popped that in 1968. I can tell you that.
Well, Len, we're thrilled that you made it through that tour of duty in Vietnam, and you came back. And we're talking about Tee It Up for the Troops today on Minnesota Military Radio with Tim Wigscheid, who is the president and executive director, and one of his volunteers, Len Erickson, who is a Vietnam veteran Marine. And Len, how did you get tied up with Tim and Tee It Up for the Troops?
Actually, my daughter is the one that introduced me to Tee It Up for the Troops. She was doing some volunteer work for it, and she told me about it, and I was just shocked. The experience that those of us that were in Vietnam came home to was something different than what is currently going on. And when she started telling me what Tee It Up for the Troops did, and they included golf in it,
two of your favorite things.
It was. So I got involved in it, and I contacted them and became involved in it. And it's just a great organization. You find out that there's so many things that they do, that so many veterans that are benefited by it.
Len, were you able to go to one of these reunion events and match up with one of your battle buddies?
I didn't match up with a battle buddy at this reunion. I brought my wife, and she was well deserving after 50 years of being married to a veteran with PTSD.
Amen.
I didn't go with a battle buddy, but I went to the reunion, and it was so incredible. My experience with Tee It Up for the Troops prior to that was just knowing the people at Tee It Up for the Troops, but to see what else goes on at the reunion other than just golf. I mean, there were so many classes and so many meeting groups that were so helpful to all the veterans that were there.
And you've enjoyed the experience, so you continue to help Tee It Up for the Troops now.
You bet. Even more so.
Len, we're kind of winding down on time. I just want to ask you a question. What would you hope for the general public to remember about Vietnam and Vietnam veterans today?
Well, I think probably the biggest message is to know that whether the war was right or wrong, we were there for a reason. We were there because we were patriots, and not that anybody else isn't, but we weren't there just to make the war protesters angry.
We were there doing our jobs.
That's right. That's right.
And everybody I've talked to, all my fellow Vietnam veterans, none of them think they're heroes. We were over there doing what we were asked to do, doing our jobs, protecting each other, and trying to get home safe. And it was a bad time in the United States. The country wasn't ready to welcome us home very much, but they are today, aren't they?
They are. And that's what's so exciting about Tee It Up for the Troops is they're reaching out to so many veterans, and the new veterans that from Afghanistan and from Iran they're deserving of being recognized.
And I think our generation helped the general public to realize we need to support our troops and their families, and organizations like Tee It Up for the Troops do such a wonderful job of doing that. Len, thanks for your service, and thanks for continuing to serve to help Tee It Up for the Troops. And Tim, we just got about a minute left. I come back to you. With guys like this helping you, your job has to be just marvelous.
It is. It's an honor to do it every day, and we're blessed to have incredible volunteer support. And Len's just the best. I mean, I just can't say enough about what he's meant to us as an organization, but what he's meant to me personally. We're here to serve him. But I'm forever amazed how he is working to serve us, and that's where it's really a beautiful marriage, if you will.
And he's one of the best behaved Marines we've had in the studio in 14 years.
So. Hasn't thrown a thing yet.
He has 30 seconds left. Where do our listeners find out about the Minnesota golf events this year?
Again, you can go to teeituptforthetroops.org. We have individual listings for each and every event that we have across the state of Minnesota. Like I said, Rochester, St. Cloud, Mankato, and throughout the Twin Cities. We're always looking for people to help volunteer to help. We're looking for sponsors. We're looking for supporters. Anybody that wants to engage their community into a great cause, we will welcome them with open arms. Teeituptforthetroops.org.
Thanks for joining us today.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
Tim Wegscheid and Len Erickson from Teed Up for the Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio today is Doug Wortham, and we're going to come back and talk about Warriors' next adventure. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
At the start of the Civil War, Minnesota was the first state to offer volunteers for the Union Army. Ordinary men from Minnesota made an extraordinary sacrifice. Only 3 years after achieving statehood, over 24,000 Minnesotans answered the call to service. These brave Minnesotans oftentimes found themselves on the front line or the last to leave the battlefield. Minnesotans played a pivotal role, and their service will not be forgotten. The Civil War changed Minnesota in many ways. After the war was over, many soldiers from other states were drawn here because of the Minnesotans they had met and the stories they had heard. The Civil War deeply shaped us, and the 1st Minnesota Volunteer Infantry Regiment holds a special place in the history of our state.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Doug, we're having a great show today. We talked about Teed Up for the Troops in the first half, and they raised money to help our service members and veterans and their families. And Minnesota is kind of ahead of the curve. We've seen it the whole time you were the Command Sergeant Major. There's lots of organizations here that try to help our service members, families, and you've got another one here today that's going to help with some special problems.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Minnesota is a great supporting state. And, you know, we're talking about golfing earlier, and now we're going to go into a segment and talk about some adventure stuff, rock climbing and things like that. And so it's a great pleasure to welcome in Nick Ron. Nick is the founder and CEO of the local nonprofit Warriors Next Adventure. It is a 501c3, and they provide a 24/7 crisis line to vets. And then, of course, recreational therapy. Nick, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you in and talk about these resources that are available to our veterans, our service members. And before we get into the whole Warriors Next Adventure conversation, I'd like to know just a little bit about you. What is your military background? What did that look like?
I was Air Force from 2006, 2012. I deployed four times. Well, three times. One was to Qatar. You can't really count that as a deployment.
But you're away from the States, so, you know, it's a deployment.
Ran out of mint ice cream at least once a week. It was rough. I was a 50 cal gunner in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we did route clearance in 2008, and then 2011, 2012, and then the 2009-2010 deployment, we were base security in Balad.
Yeah, so we shared some time chewing up some of that desert sand and that 9 to 10. That's when I was in Iraq. And so service in the military, the 6 years, it's four deployments. But that kind of shaped and set things up for you on what would come. And that is Warriors Next Adventure. So tell us, how did your military service, what happened when you got back home, how did that lead to starting or developing and founding Warriors Next Adventure?
Well, I'm not saying every veteran goes through this, but a lot of veterans tend to struggle with getting out of the military and transitioning. And we feel secluded, which oftentimes we do to ourselves. And, you know, a lot of people won't admit that, but it's usually the truth. So I struggled for quite some time, experienced a suicide while I was in the military in 2010. And I walked in the room while he was still alive, and I held his hand while he passed away. And that's on top of many other things, can cause some issues. And I was one of the guys that kind of just buried everything. And it took me a couple years to realize that I was struggling, and it didn't really, you know, surface that it was such a problem until 2015, when unfortunately I have a failed suicide attempt. Life was extremely difficult for me in my transition. A lot of it was my fault, is because I secluded myself and I pushed everybody away.
And isn't that something that's pretty common, you know, through your work, the time you spend with the veterans, That's very common. A lot of service members do just suppress, and there's no outlet.
Well, the suppression of everything on top of seclusion, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. So what I decided back in 2019, Tuesday, April 18th, will actually be our four-year anniversary. I decided that I needed to create something that I needed back when I first got out. You know, I was doing okay at the time, and I just realized, you know, I think I got some more to offer to the community. So we started off mountain climbing, and mountain climbing turned into us partnering with a wolf sanctuary, Minnesota Wolf Dogs, up in Sandstone. And then we got race cars, and we have a jiu-jitsu program, and it just keeps evolving. And the whole focus is to get veterans together. We focus on three specific things: purpose, camaraderie, and adventure. And I think that's the thing that most people can agree that's what they miss when they get out of the military.
Yeah, the adventure piece of it, such an important thing. So how do you deal with, or how do you support those that might come to your program where they can't maybe participate in everything because of some type of a physical injury or something like that? What kind of accommodations are you able to do for that?
Well, we adapt. It really depends on what they want to do. You know, I mean, if somebody has, you know, severe back pains, they probably shouldn't compete in jiu-jitsu, you know? But we have other things. We have we started a men's group recently. We're working with some female vets to start a women's group as well. Those are not just for veterans. They're for everybody in the community. So we try to do our best to adapt to whatever somebody needs. There's no recreational therapy is a very vague description for a reason, which is pretty cool because we can do pretty much whatever we want to get veterans involved.
And so how does somebody find out then about the program, what it is that you offer? How do they get involved?
You can go to warriorsnextadventure.com. We're all over Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you need. So we advertise as much as we can on social media. On top of that, we help out multiple law enforcement agencies. So if a veteran is struggling, specifically Washington County, Hennepin County, Ramsey County, Anoka County, they have a veteran crisis team. And a lot of times if a vet is struggling with mental health, what they'll do is give them my information. They reach out to me and then we kind of help with the aftercare.
And what kind of a group size do you typically have on some of your adventures?
Really depends. The yearly mountain climb we do in Colorado, I always limit it to 5, but I'm a pushover and it always turns into like 15. It's hard for me to say no, especially if I know that this type of adventure would be really good for somebody. It can be anywhere from like 10 to 15, or when we work in the garage on the race cars, it can be like 4 or 5. It really just depends.
And what about cost for the veteran or the participants?
Everything's free for veterans. The only thing, the only charge, the only fee that you'd ever have to pay is if you want to race the race cars. So we do dirt track racing, and the license for the Hornet division is like $30 to $40 for the whole year. We want to see a little bit of we want to show that you're dedicated. We pay race entry fees, we do like a cookout, we do barbecues and stuff. So veterans have never had to pay for anything with us except for a license for driving.
And so obviously you get the group of veterans together, you do some of this adventure stuff, but there's an ulterior motive as well, isn't there?
Always. You know, veterans are known for just trying to tough it out and not speaking up. And it's, you know, there's a quote from a British team from the Ocean Row. They had a really good hashtag: it's not weak to speak. Speaking up when you're struggling, I mean, that's the most courageous thing that somebody can do. Is because you realize that, hey, I'm not 100% and I want to get there, so I just need some help. So our focus is to get veterans who need to speak to open up and share some of the things that they've been struggling with, and then we help them get into therapy if that's a need be.
So we've got just a couple of minutes left, and I'm assuming that when you get that group together and you're doing this adventure, you know, we already talked about the ulterior motive, but in a way, their guard is kind of let down because they're involved, they've got other veterans around them, and you're just having casual conversation, and then all of a sudden this conversation turns into something else where, you know, maybe someone realizes, hey, there's something else I should be doing, some therapy or some other conversations I should be having with somebody.
Well, when you have somebody who has experience with mental health issues but also has overcome a lot of them, I mean, you kind of, no matter what, you know, no matter who you are, you turn into an example for people. You know, life stories are examples of how people have overcome, you know, traumas, mental health issues. And so what I do is I share my story with these guys. But I also show them all the cool things we've done. Like, I'm a race car driver. I climb mountains. We play with wolves. We do all kinds of really fun stuff. And, you know, trying to teach these guys that having issues it's not uncommon. Everyone has issues, right? If you're struggling to process your issues, it's okay to get help.
Can you, in about like 30 seconds,
sure.
What is the Operation Wolf Dog?
So Operation Wolf Dog is a wolf sanctuary. They're all hybrid wolves, and we partner with Minnesota Wolf Dogs. We go up there, and we actually get to go into the cages and play with these wolves. They're also adoptable, too. So if you live in an area where you can adopt a wolf dog, you can actually adopt one.
Now, that sounds like a pretty interesting thing, something
awesome.
To look at.
Oh, that's so fun.
I do want to come back and talk a little bit more about your story and an interesting experience that you had. So we'll do that because we do have to take a break here. We've been speaking with Nick Ron about Warrior's next adventure. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host is Doug Wortham, and we've been talking to Nick Ron, Warrior's next adventure. And Doug, he's got a story for us. I think it was an adventure that went maybe a little too far.
Yeah, Nick. I mean, we definitely got to talk about this. December 28th, 2022, something pretty interesting happened to you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So December 12th, back in this last December, 2022, me and a team of three other Air Force guys, we've been the first all Air Force team to compete in the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge. We were rowing a rowboat, a 28-foot rowboat from the Canary Islands in Spain to Antigua in the Caribbean. It's a 3,000-mile row. And there's about 43 teams, and the whole concept is to be 100% unsupported row across the ocean. And our cause, we were rowing with an organization called Fight or Die. It was their boat. And we had a pretty intense storm come in on December 28th, and we later found out there were six capsized that night. So there were six boats that capsized, but ours was the only one that did not correct itself. So I was in the back cabin. We had two guys out on deck, one guy in the front cabin, and we rowed up a 40-foot wave. We got hit by anywhere from a 70 to 100 mile an hour gust of wind, and the wind knocked me out. I woke up in about 8 inches of water, and I look out the window, and I'm 2 feet underwater. The boat was not moving. We could not rock it back over, and so we had to deploy the life raft. I had somebody dive underneath the water to help me open up my door because there was so much pressure from the outside water. I couldn't actually open my door. So we opened it up. I had to dive 3 feet underwater and then come back up. And right as I came out of the water, I had swallowed a bunch of water because I got stuck. And, you know, I was coughing and throwing up seawater. And then I got hit by a 20-foot wave and got hit right in the side of the boat. So it was the second hard hit to my head that night. And then I swam about 20 feet to the life raft. And me and three other guys spent 18 hours floating 800 miles west of the African coast in the Atlantic Ocean in 20-foot swells.
That brings a whole new meaning to adventure.
Yeah, it's one that I'd rather not repeat again. Maybe no more boats in the future.
The second guest in a row, we're talking about a Marine getting hit in the head and now an airman getting hit in the head, but he survived.
That's yeah, yeah, that's crazy. And so, I mean, that's not that long ago.
Yeah.
How's the recovery been?
It's been rough, to be honest. I've taken some time off from the organization. We pretty much put the pause button from January to about March is when I started to get rolling with things again. I needed to make sure that I was doing okay. I realized that I wasn't being effective, and so I needed to take a step back so I can get myself together. I just went to the Marcus Institute of Brain Health for a severe TBI PTSD clinic, and then I'm going back May 22nd for 3 weeks to do some extensive tests and studies and therapies to try to get me back to where I was before the race. So.
Well, you speak about it's not weak to speak. And so, you know, take your own advice. We only have about two minutes or so left. And, you know, you're very open about your story.
Yeah.
You're very open about the conversations you have with our veterans while participating in Warrior's Next Adventure. Do you do anything outside of this as far as like a motivational type speaking circuit, anything like that?
Yeah. So I started an organization last year. It's an LLC called Invoke Change. I do so many speeches with Warrior's Next Adventure. And I had so many people come up to me and ask me, why am I not getting paid for what I do? Everything I do with Warriors Next Venture, I don't get paid. I've never taken a paycheck. It's not something I'm trying to create for money. It's something I'm trying to create to help people. I genuinely want to make the community a better place. So Invoke Change, we started that to do motivational speaking. I've spoken for Comcast. I've spoken for a bunch of other local, smaller businesses. And then we also are contracted by the Air Force. So June, July, we're supposed to be going out to Minot and Malmstrom Air Force Base. We're working on the dates. But we'll be doing a five-day stay at each base. We'll be doing multiple speeches so everyone can attend. We'll be doing jiu-jitsu seminars and a bunch of different things to get people together, but we're also offering up to the Air Force, starting in the Air Force, eventually moving to other organizations. And what we do is we provide an avenue to reach out to speak to somebody who's a non-mandatory reporter. So if you are active duty, reserves, guard, if you need somebody to talk to, you feel free to reach out and call that number. On top of that, we partner with an organization called HickStrong, and they provide free therapy to any veteran or active duty reservist.
And tell us again, what is the website where people can get more information?
Go to warriorsnextadventure.com. You can go to our Instagram, Facebook. Everything's all over the place.
Okay. And then are there some other events coming up that you want to talk about, other specific dates in this last 20 seconds or so?
Yeah, May 6th, we're going to be out at Minnesota Wolf Dogs in Sandstone doing a spring cleanup. So anybody can come. You don't have to be a veteran if you want to come help out. You might be scooping up some dog poop, but we have the women's group is going to be starting soon. The men's group is every 2 weeks. The next one's April 22nd. Then we have the first annual WNA 5K at Roseville Central Park, August 5th.
Awesome. So warriorsnextadventure.com is the place to go to get all the information. Nick, hey, thanks for coming in. I wish we had more time. I'd love to hear more about your story, and I just appreciate you sharing your story and providing a service to our veterans. Thanks so much.
Yeah, of course. Come tinker in some cars and play some wolves with us.
There you go. Nick Ron from Warriors Next Adventure.
Joining me now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Tom, and thanks for having me back.
Director, it was a lot of fun. We were out at your office last week, and we were talking to Dr. Richard Stone. He wrote the book Save Every Life You Can about the time when he was in charge of the VHA and the COVID hit, and I read it, finished it over the weekend. It's a good read. It's a great book, and it was startling to learn how much he had learned while he was in the military, in the medical part of the military, and put all of those experiences to use for the VA.
Yeah, you know, Tom, it was really great having you here, and I have received so many positive comments about the show. And so if any of your listeners haven't heard that episode, I would encourage them to do so, because Dr. Stone is terrific, and his book is really good. I share your sentiments about the quality of the book, and it really sort of emphasized to me what a solid leader he is and how much he, you know, as a leadership style, you know, depended on his people at the front line and in the who were doing the work to inform his decision making at the VA central office. So it was a great book. It was a great show, and again, I've received many, many favorable comments from staff and listeners.
So for our listeners, it's Dr. Richard Stone, Save Every Life You Can. Director, the PACT Act, which seems like we've been talking about it for a long time, but there's just a few months left to file a claim.
Yeah, you know, I think what I would really encourage your listeners to do, Tom, if they are not enrolled in VA healthcare, just, you know, www.va.gov/PACT, P-A-C-T. And the important piece of the timing is that once veterans who are interested enroll, they then have up to 5 years to submit their claim. But if they don't get enrolled within the next 6 or 7 months, then they, you know, again, forfeit that ability to go through that screening process in the future. So www.va.gov/PACT, and again, that's for veterans not enrolled to establish an enrollment. And again, 6 or 7 months, it's important to do it pretty soon.
And, of course, that act opens the door for Vietnam veterans and blood pressure issues and burn pits and a lot of other things. So yeah, if you even remotely think that you might be entitled, talk to your county veteran service officer. Let's file a claim.
Great, great point. I mean, there's a lot of times these are veterans frequently who are not engaged with the VA or VA healthcare, and it's hard to get the word out to them. But your advice on contacting county veteran service officers is spot on. That's where I would start.
Director, how do we convince our listeners, most of the veterans I know, and I was this way, think that you got to save that VA for people that lost arms and legs and have serious problems, or that's furthest from the truth? You want all the veterans that are eligible to come out there.
You know, there is no such thing as somebody of lesser importance taking somebody else's spot. And so there are spots for everybody, and sometimes that might mean getting care in the community at the VA's expense rather than directly in the VA hospital. But you've earned it. You deserve it. Take advantage of it.
Very good, sir. Director, April's a big month. There's several things going on.
Yeah, you know, it seems like there's all kinds of celebrations almost every month, but in April, some significant events we have going on here. It's Limb Loss Awareness Month, and as you might imagine, you know, with our population, with veterans who have either lost a limb as a result of their service or through other diabetes or something else through the course of growing older, we recognize and honor them. It's the month that we focus on donating organs, and so National Donate Life Month. And for those veterans who come here, there's a QR code in on our TVs where they can get hooked up with all that. And then finally, it's the Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And again, this is for veterans who have experienced sexual assault. And again, www.mentalhealth.va.gov. And then you'll see something on there with sexual assault. That's how you can get connected if you were experiencing that. Or, of course, talk to your primary care provider. But you know, if you've experienced trauma related to sexual assault, it's worth reporting that and getting that taken care of and addressed.
Director, all the years you spent in the Navy and the time I spent in Vietnam, I would hope that sexual trauma would be something in the past, but it's still there, and if you have a problem with that, the help's available.
Absolutely. And again, it's nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. You know, it's like, you know, with other mental health or other issues related to trauma, it'll help you, it'll improve your life, and I think it's worth, speaking up on it.
Director, I keep asking about this, but the new women's clinic, where do we stand with that?
You know, I'm glad you asked, Tom, because I was at a meeting recently, and I had to announce that we had had to delay the clinic. It is still funded. It's still going to happen. But, these days in construction, the prices, inflation, everything has gone up so much. You know, we were forced to delay for about a year, and the reason is that at the price that we originally bid on, eventually the cost exceeded our threshold, and we had to submit a new bid. Again, it's funded. It's going to happen, but we went over that $20 million threshold. And so now what our women veterans can expect is it's going to be closer to the end of calendar year 24. That's about a year later than I had hoped or that I thought. But rest assured, it's going to happen, and we are still committed to women veterans and opening that clinic as soon as we can.
Inflation strikes again. Director, thanks for joining us again today. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Tim Wigscheid and Len Erickson, Nick Ron, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the 100th anniversary of the State Soldiers Assistance Program. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.